Welcome to Strength for Today, the preaching ministry of the Central Florida Bible Church, an independent, fundamental, non-denominational Bible church in Winter Park, seeking to proclaim the whole counsel of God, to point all to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to do all, as stated in Revelation 1:9, for the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Our speaker is Central Florida Bible Church's pastor, John Pereira. You may wish to have paper and pen for important information following the message. For more information regarding prior broadcast and other sermons by Pastor John, please visit our website, www.strengthfortoday.info. That's www.strengthfortoday.info. Now, here is Pastor John proclaiming the strength for today.
Thank you for tuning in to our Strength for Today Bible broadcast. Our topic today is going to be spiritual nearsightedness. Most of you listeners that are over 40 probably remember Mr. Magoo. Yes, Mr. Magoo, that old crotchety, nearsighted, lovable old coot that first appeared back in 1949. Some of you a little more recently remember Gilligan's Island with Jim Backus. Jim Backus was the first speaker for the Mr. Magoo cartoon. And most of us remember those close calls that Mr. Magoo always had due to his nearsightedness. Well, we're going to be talking about the subject of spiritual nearsightedness, because spiritual nearsightedness can get us into an awful lot of trouble. Most of us have heard the term, "He has an eye like an eagle." Perhaps you might be talking about Tiger Woods in the area of golf, or you might be talking about a ball player or someone on the rifle target range who has an eye like an eagle. Well, that term is simply because eagles have eyes 6 times sharper than a human being. Well, we need to have our spiritual eyesight sharpened. Let's go to the optometrist today, shall we? The spiritual optometrist. And have a vision exam. Optometrists tell us that we ought to have our eyes examined at least once a year. That's a good practice. Sometimes our eyes can change and we're not even aware of it. And that's the way spiritual decline can be in our spiritual perception of the Lord. I'd first of all like to look at this subject of spiritual nearsightedness from the standpoint of the unsaved man's problem. You know, the unsaved man is one heartbeat from eternity, and he doesn't even realize it. And just like blind, nearsighted Mr. Magoo is getting into some real dangers and doesn't even realize it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Word of God says in verse 3, "If our gospel be hid, it is hidden to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world," that's Satan, "has blinded." You see, there's the eyesight. The unsaved man is blinded. He doesn't believe, you see, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Unsaved man is spiritually blinded. That's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 14, God's word reads, "As it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has before prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God." So the unsaved man is suffering from blindness. But we who have the Word of God, who know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, who have the Word of God and the Spirit of God living within us, we ought to be able to see spiritual realities. But sad to say, many Christians are not walking with the Lord and in the Word as they ought to be. You know, God has a solution to man's problem of spiritual nearsightedness and blindness. And that solution is the touch of Jesus. I think of John chapter 9, in which there was a man who was born blind from his birth. That's a picture of an unredeemed man, isn't it? The Word of God says his disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the things of him that has sent me while it is day. The night cometh where no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said unto the blind man, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is by interpretation sent. And he went his way, therefore, washed, and he came seeing. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're spiritually blinded. You need the touch of Jesus, his healing touch upon your life. I think of another incident of Jesus causing the blind to see in Mark chapter 8 and verse 22. When he came to Bethsaida, and they brought him a blind man, and they besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, led him out of the town, and when he had spit on his eyes, he put his hands upon him, and he asked him if he saw. And he looked up, and he said, "I see men as trees walking." Reminds me of Johnny Cash's song, "I see men as trees walking." And then Jesus put his hands again upon his eyes, and he made him look up, and he was restored, and he saw every man clearly. You know, this second incident of Jesus touching this blind man illustrates the fact that sometimes spiritual sight comes in stages. It could be that as you're listening to me today, you do not know Jesus Christ as Savior, but you're searching, and God is giving you more light and more light and more light, and you're responding to that light, and someday your eyes will open and you'll see the truth, and God will grant unto you eternal life. You know, I love that scripture in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18 that declares Christ's mission. And he uttered these words in a synagogue in his hometown of Nazareth. And in Luke 4:18, Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives," and get the next phrase, "and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." If you're blinded by sin and by the deception of the devil, look to Jesus Christ. He's the light of the world. He can touch your heart and life and bring sight, that you might see Jesus Christ high and lifted up, your Savior, who shed his blood on the cross of Calvary, that you might have everlasting life. But you know, perhaps sadder are those individuals that perhaps have come to Jesus Christ as Savior, but have not made Jesus Christ the Lord of their life. Perhaps you may find yourself in the company of those that 1 Corinthians chapter 3 describes as carnal Christians. Spiritual myopia, nearsightedness, can also apply to those who do know Christ as Savior, but are not walking in light of what they ought to be walking in. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 reminds us that according to the Lord's divine power, He has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. But oftentimes we're not walking in light of what He has done for us. The Lord has given us, verse 4, exceeding great and precious promises, that we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But are we taking advantage of the provision that Jesus has made to us? See, the Word of God talks about spiritual arithmetic. We are to be practicing multiplication. We are to be practicing addition, because the Word of God says, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. And if these things are in you and abound, they make you that you shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things, there ought not to be subtraction in the Christian life. Lacking equals subtraction. It means going backwards rather than forwards in the Christian life. God wants us to add and multiply and grow in spades. But he that lacks, notice, is blind, cannot see afar off. There's your myopia, your nearsightedness. And he has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. And oh, Satan has a heyday with carnal Christians who oftentimes listen to the voice of Satan. And Satan will whisper in your ear, you're not a child of God. You're not saved. Jesus Christ isn't your Savior. And before long, he has you right where he wants you. You cannot see afar off, and you've forgotten that you were purged from your old sins. And the solution is to confess that sin before God. Repent of your willfulness and rebellion. And do the first things, the first acts of obedience. As the Apostle John spoke to the believers at Ephesus in the book of Revelation. Sad to say, many Christians are not growing as they ought to be. I like Paul's prayer to the believers at Ephesus. His prayer was that his children, his spiritual children, might not suffer from spiritual nearsightedness. Listen to his prayer in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17. And notice how his prayer differs from the types of prayers that you often hear on a Wednesday night prayer service in the typical church. In the typical church, you often hear requests about being delivered from illness. Not that there's anything wrong with praying for healing for oneself and for individuals. But how many times do we pray, Lord, in the midst of the illness, in the midst of that trial, in the midst of the testing, may that brother or sister in Christ encounter a higher vision of you, a sharper image of you, a deeper relationship with you in a very real way through that trial. And Lord, even more than removing that trial, Lord, accomplish that higher purpose. See, Paul prayed for the perception of spiritual insight and power. Listen to the words in Ephesians 1 and verse 17. that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you that spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, being opened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, the riches of the glory of the inheritance of the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places, far above principalities and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Paul prayed that believers that were suffering in Christ might be encountered with the reality that we have an inheritance in Christ. We have Christ's resurrection power available to us to overcome sin, to overcome trials and testings, to overcome the problems in this world. That very same power that raised Jesus from the grave is at our disposal through the Spirit of God. I've always enjoyed that story found in 2 Kings chapter 6, describing Elisha's experience with his servant Gehazi. You remember the children of Israel were at war with the king of Syria. And how many times did Elisha reveal the war plans of the king of Syria by divine illumination to the king? God spoke to Elisha and revealed every step, every plan of the enemy. And after a while, old Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, thought that there was a conspiracy even among his closest of generals. And he said, "Which of you is for the king of Israel?" He was so frustrated, he sent an whole army to attack one man of God and surround him. Elisha and his servant were camping out one morning, and the armies of Ben-Hadad encircled Elisha and his servant. Gehazi got up early, probably to put the coffee on the campfire, and he said, "Alas, master, wake up! Look, the king of Syria has surrounded us with his army." He was ready to die. He was overwhelmed. But the word of God tells us Elisha didn't panic. He answered and said, "Fear not, for they that are with us are more than they that are with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of angelic horses and chariots of fire around Elisha. Here was a man that had spiritual vision. Elisha saw God's provision. The servant, Gehazi, was a picture of a weak, carnal Christian who was not walking in light of spiritual truth. I'd like to conclude our Strength for Today Bible broadcast with some concluding principles to help improve your spiritual eyesight. Number one, make sure you're born again by the touch of the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Remember, John chapter 3 and verse 3 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see," eyesight, "cannot see the kingdom of God." You'll never see it unless you're born into God's family by faith in Jesus Christ. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 18, you have the counsel to the non-believer. "I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness not appear. And notice, anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. I remember when my children were born in the hospital, and I've had six boys, and I've been the coach for my wife through the birth process. I'll never forget the first thing they do when the baby's born, after they aspirate the nose and the mouth and establish the airway there, they anoint the eyes with eye salve. That helps the baby to see, to be able to open his eyes. It removes the irritants. And that is exactly what we need, the touch of the Master's hand when we receive him as our personal Savior. Have you made that decision? Have you come to the place where if you were to die tonight, you have the assurance that you'd see the kingdom of God, that you'd enter into his heavenly glory because you've made peace at the cross by receiving the free gift of eternal life that Jesus provides for you? Be born again by the touch of Jesus. That's the first step of gaining spiritual eyesight. Secondly, once you're saved, you need to stay in the Word. Get into the Word of God. Psalm 19:8 says, "The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." God's Word will open your eyes and continue to give you wisdom and understanding and discernment that you need throughout life. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But the more you read the Word of God, the more wisdom you'll have to be able to walk the walk and serve the Lord and raise your family God's way and be able to solve the difficulties that encounter each one of us in this life. I believe that when we stand before the Lord someday, one of the greatest regrets we're going to have is our prayerlessness and our failure to have been in the Word of God, as we should have. Number three, if we're going to improve our spiritual eyesight, not only do we need to begin by being born again into God's family and then staying in the Word of God, which is our nourishment, but number three, we need to be accountable to God for how we use our eyes. You know, on the computer monitor in my home, I have Psalm 101 and verse 3. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave unto me. I'm wondering if you won't make that your prayer as you're listening to my voice today. Lord, you've given me my spiritual eyesight. I want to keep my eyes sharp and focused for you. Lord, I'm going to make a commitment, a covenant before you with mine eyes, that I'll look upon and gaze upon those things that will be pleasing to you. Step number four in improving your spiritual eyesight is this. We are to focus on the right role models in our lives. Psalm 101 and verse 6 says, "My eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walks in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight." You see, David realized the importance of right associations, and that one's closest friends need to be those who will pull you up closest to the Lord. The Word of God admonishes us to walk faithfully, awaking unto righteousness, for some have not the knowledge of God. speaking about eyesight. Someday, Revelation 1:7 reminds us, every eye shall see Him. And you'll see Him as your Savior coming for you at the rapture for the church. Or you'll see Him as your judge when He comes at the judgment of the great white throne. Oh, may we make sure that we're ready for Him. As Hebrews 12 and verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, focusing your eyes on Him, the author and finisher of our faith. Let me invite you in our closing comments to worship with us at Central Florida Bible Church. I appreciate our faithful listeners, and I trust that the Word of God has been a blessing to you. I'd like to meet you as listener personally at Central Florida Bible Church. Listen carefully to the information that follows, and I'll see you this coming Lord's Day.
Thank you for tuning in to Strength for Today, the radio preaching ministry of the Central Florida Bible Church that meets in the Goldenrod Station, located in Winter Park, just three traffic lights east of Cimarron Boulevard at the intersection of Aloma and Palmetto. For more information about Central Florida Bible Church, to comment on the broadcast, to request a complimentary copy of today's message, or to listen to some of the other almost 900 messages by Pastor John, please visit our website, www.strengthfortoday.info. That's www.strengthfortoday.info. Or you may call Pastor John Pereira at 407-656-9683. That's 407-656-9683. This is Charles Schaeff inviting you to come and worship with us tomorrow at the 10 a.m. Bible study classes for all ages and the 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. preaching services. Our prayer service is Wednesday at 7 p.m. May the Lord richly bless you as you go forth to serve Him.